that situation.
The brother is as radically in his right to take the children as he's a mu'min and she's a kafira. But once again, we choose to live in this country, and we're going to have to also be ready to withstand the repercussions of our choice of living in this country. Is there any sisters? Because we've been taking. We have to be fair.
Can you hear us?
Yes.
Okay, the first question is, the father leaves Islam, he accepts, and his wife is a Kafir. Who gets the children?
The children go to the authorities, the Muslim authorities. The children go to the Muslim authorities. This is also what I found in the book of, once it is the Muslim's duty, the Muslim's duty, to exhaust that person's family. She may have a Muslim cousin living in South Carolina. She may have an uncle, a Muslim, living in California. The Muslims are going to have to exert themselves to find out, are there any Muslims in the family to take that child? And if not, which is also something that we're losing, because most of us probably don't have wills. And the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam and his Sahaba also said, there's not a night after Abdullah ibn Omar realized the Prophet had his will. He said, there's not a night that went by that I would go by, except that I had my will written and ready for someone to look at it when I die. So this is something also that should be implemented. But the same thought, the authorities are the ones who have to take that child. Once again, that's not going to be an easy task if we don't hurry up and do it now according to these laws. But if the father is a Muslim and he dies, and there's no Muslim parent, and that mother is a Kafira, then, once again, according to what I have researched, the strongest of the thing is that the sultan, the authorities, the Muslim authorities, take that child. That is, that child is a ward of the Muslim state. Mm-hmm. I think we had silence from the brothers. I think we need some more from the sisters, and then, inshallah.
Okay, the next question is, please elaborate or clarify. Divorce takes the throne of Allah.
There's nothing to clarify. The hadith is forged. You can't use it. It's a lie. The Messenger of Allah, it's a lie attributed to the Messenger of Allah. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said in the hadith in Muslim, "من قال علي ما لم أقل فليتبوأ مقعده من النار." Whoever says anything about me that I didn't say, let them have their seat which is already prepared for them in the hellfire.
Okay, the third question is, where do the children go if only the mother is Muslim, the father is non-Muslim, all the maternal relatives are non-Muslim? Can they stay with a step-parent if the step-parent is Muslim?
Can they stay with the step-parent if the mother dies, for instance?
Something like that, yeah.
The father was a Kafir?
And the mother is a Muslim.
The mother is a Muslimah, and she dies.
Right.
The father is a Kafir.
Right.
And he's alive, of course.
Yes.
And all the maternal...
All of his relatives, all the mother's relatives are non-Muslim.
All the mother's relatives are non-Muslim.
Right.
You should check to see if the father is Muslim.
The father is non-Muslim.
You should check to see if the father has some parents, some relatives that are Muslim. Because that now is like the father says...
But he doesn't. There are no Muslim relatives.
Then
there's a step-parent that is Muslim.
A step-parent, what do you mean?
The parent that died is married to a Muslim.
The parent that died,
the mother
is married to
a Muslim. The stepfather of the children.
Oh, she be married.
Yes.
She be married.
Right.
He doesn't have the right. The family has the right. Whoever Muslims among the family.
No, but I'm not Muslim.
Okay, and then when that's exhausted, then in the ideal situation in a Muslim state, under the Sharia, then the sultan gets it. Not even that husband. The child becomes a ward of the state. The father doesn't come into play, as we mentioned in the beginning. Or the stepfather. It's a child now, because the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam said in the hadith and Abu the Sunnah of Abi Dawud that the sultan is the wali for the one who doesn't have a wali. And the hibana is wilaya. Hibana, child custody, falls under the category of being of wilaya, which is the wali. So the sultan is the waliyun liman lam la waliyun lahu. This is what the Prophet says. The authority is the wali over for the one who doesn't have a wali. And if that can't be done, then Allah knows best. We need to write it down, and I'll check it out. I'll find someone who knows the answer. But for surety, the men are not first or foremost on the list, because the foundation is that it has to be with the woman. The stepmother, she's still not a relative. The Prophet said, "Fal aqrab wal aqrab," or "Wal aqrab fal aqrab." Then the next closest relative, then the next.
The next question is, a man deserves, a Muslim man deserves his wife. He doesn't divorce her. He doesn't give her child maintenance while he's gone. However, he's remarried. Does he still have the right to take his child?
And he hasn't been maintaining?
No. He just leaves the family, and then he gets remarried, but he doesn't divorce the wife.
According to what I've read in all the books that I've researched, he's considered a fasik, he's considered a fajr, he's a criminal, and he does not have the right. Because he has violated hibana, which is muhafaza, which is sinaya, which is wilaya. He has violated the actual meaning of the word itself, which is to protect the body, mind, and deen of that child. Because he hasn't done this, he doesn't have that right. He loses his right. Yes.
Number five.
Oh, excuse me. This is good. Sorry, sister.
Yes, I just want to know, in the case that where our sister passed away, and she has children left, and the children go to the aunt, what is the case that the father's not taking care of the children? The Muslim father's not taking care of his children who belong to the sister. Does he have right over the children?
Say that again.
In the case where a woman passed away, and she leaves children, and her husband, there's a Muslim father, but he's not taking care of the children. Does he have right over the child?
This was just answered.
No, it's not. The maternal aunt has it. The maternal aunt has the children now.
And the father wasn't taking care of them?
No, and the father's Muslim, but he doesn't take care of the children.
This, we just answered it.
Even if I understand it. Even in the case of the maternal aunt, does he have the right for the child? If the maternal aunt has the children?
We just answered this. He doesn't have the right. Okay. He's not maintaining it. Or the child.
If a woman leaves in her role, like a stepfather being the guardian of the children, can she do that?
Excuse me?
A Muslim sister remarries. And
she lives in a world of the stepfather.
In her world, she says that her husband will raise the children if she dies. Can she do that?
I'll answer this question with a question.
The father is not alive. The father is deceased.
I'll answer this question with a question. If a man leaves in his will that a dome or a tombstone be put over his grave with the money that he leaves in his will, can that be done?
No.
That's the answer.
The answer is no. The answer
is haram. You can't put in your will something that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has not put in that constant in the world of Sharia. This is not available. You can't use money, you can't leave in your will. You don't have the right to do with your money what you want. You have to do it according to the boundaries of the Sharia. I can't leave in my will that I want my body put in a mausoleum. I don't care how much people love me or whatever. If they obey that, they're in disobedience to Allah. You can only leave your money and your will to do the things that are halal. Yeah, Yusuf, and then Abdul Rashid, He's saying that unfortunately many of us have committed the act of fornication before we came into Islam, and we have children as a result of that. And go ahead.
And the right of the father to that child, he has that right.
I'm trying to repeat for this.
So he has the right that Allah, the child,
Does he, I'm repeating, does he have the right that Allah and his Prophet alayhi salam given him, even though the children are from sifah, even from fornication? Alright, the answer is, once again, I'm talking about the constant, the awful. Alright, they can't be changed. We're not talking about because we live in America and with the laws we're going to do this if we don't take care of our children out of wedlock. The principle that I see no difference of opinion on is that that is not considered your child. According to Islam, and there's no difference of opinion among the scholars of the past on this, nor the present, that child is not considered your child. The Prophet ﷺ said, Al-waladu lil farash. The child is for the bed. Literally, it says the bed, but it means the child of the Prophet called the woman who committed that act with that man, farash. The word literally means the mattress or the bed, but it means that the child is for that woman. In other words, that child stays where that woman is. That's why that child in Islam, in Islamic society, can't take the father's name and can't inherit from the father. According to Sharia, all illegitimate children are not that man's child. They're the woman's child. So anything that would come from that, from your question, anything that you would say, similar to that, would fall into that category. But now, once again, now we're talking about being in the United States and what the court is going to do, you know, the judge is going to stand in front of you and tell you, well, it's not mine, because Islam says it's not mine. He said, well, you're going to take care of him until it looks like you. You know, something like this. You know. Yeah, Abdul Rashid. Let me just repeat, say this to the sisters. If the father, the husband, they get a divorce, she gets remarried, and the father wasn't taking care, the ex-husband wasn't taking care of the child, and then she gets a divorce from the, or she... Okay. The question is, they get a divorce, but in the interim, the child was given to the mother. And then the mother remarried, but the father, the original father, the ex-husband wasn't supporting. That's the first question, sisters, who didn't hear. He wasn't supporting her. Should now he move his right to have the children? Allah knows best. An educated guess, based on what I've been reading, is that he still doesn't have the right. Once you don't fulfill obligations, you lose your right. For instance, but we must make a point though, that what do we mean by not providing? You see, because some sisters complain that the man is not providing, but when you go further investigating it, is that he lost his job, he's looking for a job, he's zealously and earnestly looking for employment, and he wants to take care of it, he gets $5, $10 to show that he wants to do it, but things are just rough, Allah's trying him and he's testing him. We don't consider it, according to the scholars of the plan, it's not providing. We're talking about a man that comes in with the wheel of fortune all day, kicks his feet up, and he's popcorn. That's what we're talking about. He's not doing anything. You see him sitting in the masjid, sitting downtown in the Farron Broad Market, you know, kicking the bobo, as we say, and he's not doing anything. This is what we're talking about. He's strong, he's able, he's not a paraplegic, he's not blind, you know. He has two or three skills, he's a car mechanic, and he's a welder, and... No, this is what we're talking about. In fact, if that's the case, if he was doing that while he was married to her, according to the majority opinion, she can take loans out of his name and don't have to pay them. She doesn't have to give him sexual gratification. He loses the right of ikhtibas, the right to tell her where she can go, the right to movement. You can't go here, you can't go there. You know, so if she's with him in that situation anyway, she should, all those things are being lost before you come up to the children. You see? So, somebody, Hanif, you said something. And then we have to get to these sisters, because all the way in the back, the brother, now we're going out of order, but... Just in the summer. a Muslim woman committed illegal, she committed adultery. Huh?
Before she became
a
Muslim.
Oh, before she, yeah. Can she do this? Before she... Should a sister allow her the partner that she committed this illegal act with before she became a Muslimah, should she let that child from that father go with the father to live with him? The answer is the reverse of what we mentioned before. And based on the verse of the Quran, no. That's not even a child, according to Islam. Secondly, I mean, because of the situation that we live in, some people may say, well, you know, he can take her to court, you know, because now you have brothers taking the sisters to court. You know, I mean, you got lesbians taking their ex-husbands to court. Homos, alimony, whatever you know, you got all these people taking people to court now. You know, just to show you once again that we shouldn't rely on the system. Alright? But if that happens, then what are you saying? What kind of deen, how do you understand Islam? What person in their right mind would let the kafir rear their child? I mean, subhanAllah. Once again, all of these types of issues, we, the communities, are going to be bound. Or we're going to catch a real bad one with Allah. I believe it. If we don't come, we don't get some type of unity on some of these things and form a council. There's a lot of things that we need. We need an Islamic Bureau of Vital Statistics. We need a lot of things. And a lot of it comes from unity. We have to put pressure on each other to fulfill these things. When you see someone doing something wrong in the Muslim community, whether it be an imam or a mayor, a sheikh, or whatever it is, we have to stop them with our hands. And we have to either speak out against it. Because this is the preservation. Stopping the individual is the preservation of the community. Because fasad, the corruption, is not just is centralized to the individual. It goes out to the community. And if we don't stop it, then we are no different from the kuffar. What separates us? تَأْمُرُونَ بِالْمَعْرُوفِ وَتَنْهَوْنَ عَنِ الْمُنْكَرِ وَتُؤْمِنُونَ بِاللَّهِ. That's what separates us. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions in the Quran. That's why this is what is best for people. Because we enjoy in the good and we forbid in the evil. And we believe in Allah.
Okay, see, we've been talking about brothers who lost their rights because of these omissions towards their children. Right? What I want to know is, can a brother regain his rights by wanting to take care of his child? Like you said, okay, if he neglects the child, he loses his rights. What if this same brother wants to come forth and regain his rights by taking care of the child?
The answer is very simple. The question was, if a brother wants to regain his rights, if he wants to regain his right by changing and making amendments in his ways,
right.
In actuality, see, when we say he loses his right, we mean he loses the right to exercise it. The right is still there. All he has to do is repair himself with his Lord, then straighten his ways. That's all. That's all. That's all he has to do. And then Ibn Qasim, inshallah, then the sisters. No, you and Ibn Qasim, and then the sisters, inshallah. And maybe we can. Why did you tell them?
Yeah,
we mentioned this.
The father tried to take the children away from the mother.
Are you ready for us?
No, not yet, just a minute.
The father doesn't bring them at the right time. He takes them over.
The question basically is simply because it's a slightly lengthy. The question is if a child's father is divorced from the mother and he's not really practicing Islam really well, he's not praying or he's not doing the things he's supposed to do, or if he's, you know, has girlfriends or something like this, can the mother allow him to go over there? And the answer is no, but once again, you're going to have to deal with the court system here in this country, and in this state, and in this county. You're going to have to deal with those court systems. And in an Islamic situation, the Islamic judges would never give that man the right to see those children. Oh, not see them, but be able to keep them. And you'll never do this. Because if what's good for the goose is good for the gander. If the man is acting that way, then of course, if the woman is acting that way, then how much more the man, when the foundation is with the woman? So if the man is acting that way, then of course not. And once again, brothers, I'd like to make a special note, and sisters, inshallah, before Ibn Qasim and the sisters say something, and I think most people are ready to leave. When the scholars, this, one of the points that I, out of the 5 points that I made, that the woman is a sajira, or a fasiqa, or she's a, you know, someone who's not practicing well. For instance, we have a lot of sisters whose husbands tell them constantly, don't wear makeup, don't wear lipstick, which is haram, sisters. It's haram for you to come outside with lipstick and rouge and mascara and perfume on. If your husband tells you not to do this and you disobey him, you can lose your right to have those children just on that. Just on that. And if a man allows his wife to do this, then he is one of the individuals that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam said, لَا يَدْخُلُونَ الْجَنَّةَ سَلَاسٍ. Three people won't go to Jannah, brothers. An aafu al-walidain, wa mudmin al-khamr, wa dayyuf. The person who disobeys his parents, the person who gives them to intoxicants, and the man who allows corruption and just corruption and lewdness to be established in his home. If you brothers keep allowing these sisters to do this, you are one of those people, dayyuf, and you will not enter the law of Jannah. And if she keeps doing it, you should divorce her. You should divorce her because she's mad she's there. She's in disobedience to you. And you're really responsible for her coming out of the house like that.
Yeah.
Is there any brothers that want to eat before they close out? You're going to go get your meal now, inshallah. It will cost them?
My question is briefly more. I'm asking you to just elaborate for a minute because we know the situation being what it is with the courts and nobody likes to go through that nonsense. But you have a lot of situations where a Muslim sister will...
The correction about the food that can come down after the lecture, not now.
Okay. Thank you.
And the sister gets remarried to another Muslim. And for whatever reason, the Muslim father of the children isn't given his right in terms of being able to take the children out. And the sister and her new Muslim husband raises the children.
No, the sister and her new Muslim husband.
Yeah, for all practical purposes, raises
the children. The brother wants to do it.
The brother wants to do it, but the sister won't give the brother the children. And we see it happen. I've spoken to brothers. You know, this won't happen. What do you say to the brother who has married the sister in terms of establishing a relationship with the father of these children? I mean, just in a general sense, what do you
say? I would say to a brother who wants to do this, and he's being prevented by either A, the ex-wife, and or B, the ex-wife and the new husband, I would say to that, and it may sound like, you know, well, that's real nice answer, brother. But I would say that he should stand up at night in tahajjud and beg his Lord. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will make a way for him. And if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in his infinite wisdom does not do this, it is a trial and a test that you just have to bear. You have to weather the storm and wait for Allah's success and his help to come. Because if you or some brothers take that child and they catch you in this society, now you're in KY in the federal joint, for kidnapping, you know. And once again, it's part and parcel of the choice that we make for staying in the United States or stay down. That's the choice you make. I think these sisters are better.
The first question is, if two people have a child out of wedlock before Islam, and they have the same two people accept Islam and they get married, is that child that they had before Islam considered the father's child? Because you mentioned that that's not considered his child Islamically. But they had these children, they had children out of wedlock, out of Islam. And 10 years down the line, he accepted Islam. The same two people. And they have more children. The first two sets of children are not considered his, or are they now considered his since they both have accepted Islam and are married?
I asked this question because one day we asked Sheikh Muhammad ibn Saleh, and I think me and Habibullah, we asked him this question with different variables and tangents to this, angles to this question. We not only asked him this question, but we asked him the question similar to this. For instance, a man has committed illegal sexual intercourse before he becomes a Muslim, and so that means his child is not really his daughter or his son. And then he becomes a Muslim, and then she becomes a Muslim. Can she now inherit from him? We asked this question, and that question also, and the answer is yes. The child is considered their children.
The next question is from if a father, if a man and wife have children, have a child, the man accepts Islam 20 years later and so does his daughter, does he agree to what you just answered? Now does that child become his? Her mother didn't accept Islam, just the father and the child.
The father accepts Islam and the child accepts Islam.
So does his child.
That child is his.
Okay. The next question is, two Muslims divorce, the mother remarries, the father takes the children. What are her rights of visitation?
Say it again.
Two parents divorce, the mother remarries, and the father takes the children. What rights does the mother have in terms of visitation with the children?
According to what I read, they divide it between days and nights. And even they had a statement about if one of the parents travels, where do the children go? This has to be dealt with according to the circumstances, how the brother works, what hours he works, etc. This is something that's left to the individual. But as far as visitation, there's no set days that I found anywhere in the Sharia that says that it must be 2 days or 3 days or every Thursday and Friday or etc. This is something that has to be dealt with in equitable terms without parity between the individuals themselves, and they should seek counsel with some third or fourth party. They should sit down with the sultan, the imam, the sheikh, or whoever to try to, you know, get these things together. But I found nothing that says that it has to be Wednesday and Friday or Saturday and Monday or whatever, or after Juma or these many nights. I haven't found anything. Hanif has his hand up, Sister Mahasin, so...
Say that again?
Hanif has his hand up. He's had his hand up for a while.
Can you hold on so we can ask him some questions, too?
Can you hold on, honey?
Does he mind?
He doesn't mind. He's
okay.
A good brother.
But in addition to that question, can the mother at any point be denied any visitation from the father?
And she's not...
She's Muslim.
No, she can't be denied. No. This is the mother. Unless she's a fanatic.
It's okay. It's okay.
Something happened?
Yes, but it's okay. We have it.
Huh. Yeah, if she apostates, something like this, no, she doesn't have the right anymore. Did you hear me?
No, what did you say?
If she apostates, then she doesn't have that right. But she's a Muslim, huh? She has rights. That's her child.
Okay. The next question is, the child who goes to the authorities of the Islamic...
Oh, excuse me. I also read, if she's into sihaq, or liwaq, if she's into lesbianism, homosexuality, she doesn't have the right. I also read this. She does not have the right to do it. And, of course, that has to be proven. You just can't have, you just can't assume that she's, you know, musahiqa, you know, she's into lesbianism. You just can't assume that. I mean, she has rights also, and you have to have four witnesses. Unless she admits it, then that's different. Or he admits it. If he admits, then Allah forbid, that he's gay, then of course, the child cannot go there, to that house. Doesn't make any difference if, you know, where all he is. No, because the basis, once again, of Hibana is the preservation of the body, the mind, and the deen of that child.
Next question is, a child who's been given to the Islamic Authority, does this child have a right to choose who he or she wants to go to? And does the child also reach puberty? We're assuming that there is a step parent in the Islamic community. Can that child choose the step parent?
Allah knows best, it seems as though yes, but if you write this one down also, I'll check it out. Please write it down and I'll check it out. I'll ask. But it seems as though yes. Hanif still has his hand up.
All right, we have one more question before Hanif. In line with that question, if the child is in puberty, say 15 years old, and the mother is remarried, does the child have a right to choose which parent?
If the mother is remarried and the child is in puberty, can the child choose?
Right.
I'll check this one out also. I read something about this morning, but there were so many different aspects of it, I didn't want to touch it, so I'll check it out also. Please write that down, inshallah.
But Hanif can go now.
Hanif. If the father has good evidences that the mother, for instance, is giving the child beer or allowing the child to sit in the bed and watch pornographic material, or giving the child pork, or the child is allowed to watch that woman, may Allah forbid, to witness her sleeping with some other man who she's not married with. And he's taking care of her. The children, that is. You're asking what can he do? Once again, according the ideal situation is that that child goes with him.
What I'm asking is that his management on the area of where sisters know this, and they are silent on
it. If sisters know that this is a fact, and they don't assist that brother in getting his children, then they are sin too. Vice versa, either way it goes, because we, once again, this is a community being. It's a social being. If we allow this corruption to happen, then it will fester, it will spread, and we will only have the Islamic Ummah in name. We'll only have it in name. But in content and quality, will be less than the Jews and the Christians. If the Muslims allow a man to beat that sister, to punch that sister in the face, to abuse her, and they don't do anything about it, how in the world can we sit here and say Allah is not going to charge us with this? Because the Muslims, the brotherhood. I mean, in strict sense of the word, brotherhood meaning the men. Do you actually think Allah is not going to make us responsible? Are you that afraid of the brother because he's a cop and he has a gun? Oh, he's a martial artist, he's a black belt? You're afraid of him? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, that Allah says in a hadith Qudsi, when you do this on the day of resurrection, Allah is going to say, isn't I who had the most justification to be feared? Isn't it I that the one you should be fearing the most? How can we allow a brother to beat his wife, break her arm, break her jaw, likewise, or conversely speaking, how can we allow a brother to be disallowed of not having his children when he knows his ex-wife, and whose children he is taking care of, paying this money every week or every 2 weeks or whatever, and she's disallowing him? his children. How can we stay married and do this? And until we make a change with this, we are partners in crime. We're partners in crime, for sure. And once again, it's part and parcel of our choice for living in the United States of Shaitan. It's our choice. No, no. This is another topic, but the question is the father, the ex-husband, attacks the father, excuse me, the mother, is it the right, or no, is it the obligation of that the children, older or younger, with all their ability to defend the mother when the father, the ex-husband attacks? Absolutely. Based on both the birth and sword of Hezrat, and also based on the respect that the mother has over the father. Attacking the mother also?
No.
Or you mean joining in?
No, her brother or her cousin
attacks
her.
It doesn't make any difference. No, it doesn't make any difference. Whoever attacks your mother, my mother, we have that obligation to defend them. Even though there's even some difference of opinion on can I help my Catholic brother if I see him attacked on the street. There's some talk among the ulama, can I do this? Is this, you know, in the area of wala wa bara, of loyalty to the Muslims and disavowment to the kuffar. But the mother has a special case. حَمَلَتْهُ أُمُّهُ وَهْنٌ عَلَى وَهْنٌ. The mother bore you in pain on top of pain. She has the most respect. She's a barru. Out of all the people, she has more respect and honor. And just to break the ties that bore you, the wound, to sever, to قطع الرحم, to break that wound that bore you, is a great sin with Allah. This is a great sin. This is why we should be very careful on how we treat our mothers, even if they're atheists. This is a big sin. A big sin. We should even raise our voices. We should even say, with a sound like this, it's probably meaning you couldn't even hear, even with this microphone. If they tell you to take out the garbage, or they tell you to do this, or shovel the snow, you shouldn't have anything to say. Your facial expression should be, you should have so much delight, even if you don't want to do it. No one should disrespect their mother. No one should raise their voice to their mother. At the same time, and their father, but at the same time, if someone attacks her, or does wrong to her, or harms her, even though this is not the topic at hand, you know, you're a big sinner if you don't protect her. This is your mother. SubhanAllah. And I don't want to belabor this, inshallah. Any more questions?
Yeah.
Right. The brothers have two more questions and then the sisters, and then we'll stop, inshallah.
Okay.
Going
back to the situation about the court, right? Okay, since it has to go down to the court where the statement is being one of the parties was Muslim, their father was Muslim. And the child really wanted to go to the father, but the court awarded her to the mother. What protection does the Muslim have under the court under that situation?
That's something, as far as going to the court and the father, the child wanted to go with the father and the court awarded it to the mother. This is something that has to be worked out with the scholars of Islam in our area, those people who are very knowledgeable in Islam, and those brothers or sisters who are lawyers or barristers or attorneys at law in our area. And if we can't, if we don't have them, alhamdulillah we have a couple of them in the area, then the non-Muslim lawyers, but accompanied or counseled by some knowledgeable individual that they understand Sharia, etc. They need to get together and find out how they can make this system work so that that child can have his rights and who he wants to be with. Because tahir, or the choice, the option of choosing, for the child is the race that child has. To be with anyone they want to be with. In very rare cases can an Islamic court make a child go to who he doesn't want to go in once they reach puberty. In very rare cases. Freedom of religion in the United States, Achi, without the belabor, means freedom to believe in what you want to believe, not practice what you want to practice. That's what freedom of religion means in this country. No.
If you get mad at your mother, what can she do to you? Within the boundaries of the Sharia, she can do a whole lot.
You do almost anything you want to do. Smack your side of your head, hit your side of your head, break or something, you know. Yeah. This is your mother, if you get mad at her, you're human being, but you should curb your anger, because the person that is the Prophet, alayhi salatu wasalam, said the person who, the wrestler, the Masari, the one, is not the one who can throw the person down on the ground, but the person who can control his anger. Yes, let's try to stick to the subject too, inshallah.
You made a
9:20 exactly.
Statement earlier about sisters who wear embellishment on their faces, right? Now I know we've been talking about divorce, so I'm trying to understand, you know, what situation. So somewhere I got lost. You were saying that the sister loses her rights. So I'm saying she's still married to the brother.
No, I'm saying in a marital situation,
right.
Which I said an angle of this, a tangent of this, is if a husband tells his wife,
right.
Sweetheart, it is not permissible to wear your earrings showing.
Right.
Only to me. It is haram.
Right.
It is haram for a sister to have her earrings dangling out from outside of her khimar or sticking through the material as some sisters do now today. Alright? It is haram. Alright? If he tells her this and she's nasty, she's disobedient, according to that verse in the Quran and Surah Nisa, then he should take the recourse in the next course. And if she continues, then he should divorce her because she's disobedient.
Okay, so what I'm saying, Jesus, so this falls under the category of being disobedient.
Absolutely.
All right, so I'm saying it doesn't necessarily have to be embellishment where she's disobedient.
No. But it has to be disobedience according to what Islam calls disobedience.
Right.
Because he may be beating her, and she may be disobedient.
No.
He may be breaking her up.
No.
He may be breaking her arm, breaking her jaw and everything, and she's being recalcitrant because she's afraid of him and she's angry with him, so she disobeys him.
Okay.
This is different.
All right, now. We're talking about rearing the children. Okay, now, does the father, like, for instance, like, you have the mother and the father in the home, alright? And I heard, I don't know who said it, somebody said, like, it's the children, the stepchildren. And the father has a certain amount of rights. For instance, like, he instructs his wife how to deal with the children. Or does she have the right to tell him how she wants to raise the children?
They should come to a common agreement on how to rear the children. She has the more responsibility on the rearing of the child than the father. The father is the supervisor, but we should leave. I mean, if we married this woman, we should have married her on the premise that we knew when we were married.
Right.
I mean, if we married her, we should, that means we trust in her judgment on how to rear that child.
No, but what I'm saying, though, I'm saying, you know, with all due respect to the sisters, now I'm not saying, you know, if we got good wives,
alhamdulillah.
But I'm saying, if you tell your wife, like, you might not like the way she's chastising your daughter, your son, so you instruct her, you say, look, sis, don't do it like that.
You have that right.
Okay. She must obey that.
She must obey.
Oh, thank you.
She must obey, brother. Yes. And then
the situation would be with the mink and the cap, with the wearing of the makeup and the earrings and the not going to it. You know, the tight jeans and the whole nine yards. What does the brother do in that?
If he was already married to her and he became a Muslim, this is one situation, and she dresses like this. If he married her If he was already a Muslim and she was a Kafira, he just got to handle it, I think. You know, there's some other man saying, no, she has to dress a certain way. And even though it's based on ishtihad, I agree that she has to dress a certain way. All right? Because if she dresses like you just said, then this shows that she's not Afifa. She's not a pure Muhsana, as Allah says in the Quran. She's not Muhsana. Any woman that will wear makeup outside is not Muhsana, whether she's Muslim, Jew, or Christian. Any woman who will wear her garment, like Jesus will come in the mask of Na'asi and perfume on, they're not Muhsanas. They're not. They're Muhsibat. They're corrupted, evil women. And they cause a mischief. And any man who allows them to do that, he's a partner in crime.
Can you hear?
Just a minute, a brother saying something. I didn't say you should divorce her just outright. I'm gonna give you the answer, inshallah. I'm saying that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had a man come to him. I'm not telling you brothers to divorce your wives. I'm telling you that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had a man come to him and said, my wife never refuses the hand of a man. She never refuses to touch a man. Like, you know, she keeps touching men. Alright? What should I do? The Prophet said, don't divorce her. He said, but I love her. He said, then keep her. It's up to you. If you want to live with that, go ahead.
I think you should divorce her and get a Muslim
wife. Well, that's up to you. That's up to you.
We don't
suppose
to marry the kuffar. We
should
only marry the
kuffar. No, we can marry the kuffar. Of course we can. We can marry Jewish Christian women, but it's there's conditions. But the same thing goes for the brothers. If the brother is acting a certain way, and the sister is, you know, is a good Muslim, and the man is, you know, he's doing all kinds of crazy things. You know, how can you say that you're going to, you know, love is going to keep you together? Sounds like some song. You hear the lady of. No, you're in this marriage, or we should be in this marriage, because I want this individual to help me go to Jannah. And you want that individual to help you go to Jannah. That should be the first and foremost reason why you married her. Not just for self-satisfaction, gratification, or, you know, she looks good, or he recites Quran really well, or all these are friends' benefits. But the main reason, it should be that you want, you know, هُنَّ لِبَاسُ لَكُمْ وَأَنْتُمْ لِبَاسُ لَهُنَّ. She is a clothing for you and you are clothing for her. So now, what do you want? You want somebody that's not going to get clothing for you? Well, it's a man or a woman. Divorce them. Because sometimes, divorce is farz, it's wajib on us. And if we keep using this unauthentic hadith that it displeases Allah, then you'll stay in that wretched situation. Sisters, and then we can end. Sisters.
The first question is, our brother and sister get married to a caller, who gets the caller. He makes every attempt to give the child to the brother.
To
give him his child because he wants to be remarried. But he refuses to take the child. What can the Islamic authorities do for her? She wants to be remarried. She wants him to take his daughter. He comes to the mosque, he comes to the classes, he's always, you know, around the brothers. However, he refuses to take the child. He's a healthy brother, he works, he can support his child, although he's not married. What can she do?
Once again, the Muslims should put pressure on this brother and give him nasiha. We should advise him from the Book of Allah and the authenticated Sunnah that not only is he violating an obligation that he has to take his child. Are you listening, sisters?
Yes, we are.
Not only is he violating an obligation that he is to take his child, but he is also he's infringing upon the deep, far-reaching wisdom of why Allah told him to do it. All right, it's similar to Muslims making the mistake of forcing their children to pray before 7. And not beating them at 10 when they don't pray.
If you force them to pray at 5, you are in violation of the far-reaching infinite wisdom of why Allah made it 7. And if you don't get them up, say at 10 that they're too young to get up for Fajr, you're also in violation of the wisdom of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on why he made it like that. So if the brother doesn't take his child, then he is not only in disobedience to Allah, he's infringing upon, he's showing a disrespect to the wisdom, the deep wisdom that Allah made it like this, that you are supposed to take that child. Allah knows the ultimate reason why. No one knows but Allah. I mean, the scholars can give us ideas and with deep thought and contemplation, looking at the verses and looking at the hadith, you know, and it can come to something that gives us some benefit. But the ultimate reason for everything is only known by Allah. And if we don't do it, like the 7-year-old teaching them to make salah, the 10-year-old beating them, the separating the bed, all these things, if we skate around that and do it at 9 or 6 or whatever, then similar to that, like this, we are in, we are definitely at least in disobedience to the Sharia, to Allah in the Book of Allah, subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the Muslims should put pressure on the brother to do this, because it also makes it an added burden on the wife, the ex-wife, and the stepfather. To tell you the truth, I can't see any brother that would want his daughter to stay in the house of a non-man with an ex-wife. I can't see it. I really can't see it. Especially with falahish, with the lewdness and abomination that's going on today. I can't see it. Now, of course, we trust each other, we're Muslims, but we have to be real. Some brothers have a problem with these stepdaughters, you know, and the stepson. You know, so there's some wisdom in this. There's some real deep wisdom that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has put in this when he told that woman, "You anti ahaqqu bihi, you have more right to him, ma lam tankihi," as long as you don't get married. There's some real deep wisdom in this that only Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows. The Muslim should put pressure on him, you see, to take his child. Yes, I see.
The next question is, a brother divorces his wife. She has no job. She has no Muslim relatives to go back to. They have children. What is the brother's responsibility to this family?
The sister has no job.
The sister does not work. And she and her husband have children.
And they're divorced
now. Now he's divorced her. She has no brother, no uncle, no grandfather, no Muslim relative to go to. What is the responsibility of this man to this family?
The responsibility in normal cases, if she was a millionaire, the responsibility is that he has to take care of those children. And there's some of the matter says that he even has to take care of her for a certain period. It seems to be a weaker of the opinion, but some say that. But it seems as though definitely there's no disagreement that he has to take care of those children, and he has to take care of those children in a manner that he was taking care of them when he was there. Yes, so that means if part of it entails paying for the rent in order for the children to be in that situation, in a healthy, wholesome situation, then I can see some Muslim judges saying that he has to give her money, because that's the household that they're in. And if not, then you take them and let her fend for herself. You take them with you, so they can stay with you, so you don't have to worry about your child freezing to death, catching pneumonia in the winter because the mother doesn't have enough money to pay for heating, or the mother doesn't have enough food. And lastly, I cannot see our sane Muslim man who fears his Lord, who wants the reward of the Jannah, when the woman was sent to hell for not feeding and clothing, for feeding and giving drink to a cat. I cannot see a sane Muslim man seeing his Lord not wanting to take care of his sister in Islam. Because as the old story goes in one of the stories in the time of the Prophet or after the Prophet, when some people knew that a man was having a problem with his wife, they came to him and said, like a lot of us do in the masjid here and around the masjid in the United States, being nosy and probing and want to gossip and backbite, want to get everybody's business.
what's happening with your wife? You know, what's going on? He said, I'm not in the habit of talking about my wife to you. This is private. So when he finally divorced her, they rushed to him and said, oh, now tell us, what's going on? He said, I'm not in the habit of talking about my sister in this land. You see? So how can this man, this sister still his sister in this land. She still has rights over him. You see? And the man say that even the person who committed adultery or fornication before he became a Muslim, even though that child is not his, he still can give him sadaqah for the child. You see? It's not just over. He can still give a sadaqah for the illegitimate child. So how much more you are married to her in this land and you're letting her bills not being paid? You don't give anything? SubhanAllah. But for sure, dear brothers and sisters, me and you, we're going to stand in front of the Lord of the world. And we're going to answer, our feet are not going to be able to move until we answer four questions. And two of those four questions is how we earned our money and what we spent it on. Those are two of the questions out of the four we're going to have to answer. How we spent our money, and how we earned it, and what we spent it. What we spent it on. And Allah knows best.
Brother Bowles?
Yes.
In the case where you have a brother and a sister, and either one loses the rights to their child because they did something sinful, and then when they divorced, one or the other was maybe guilty of adultery, and they, the father lost his children because he committed adultery. Can he ever regain the custody of his children back if he goes back to being a good Muslim, inshallah?
Absolutely. If he makes tawbah, a sincere repentance, and repairs himself, and turning to his Lord, if he does this, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will have his forgiveness on him and his mercy, which is much more expansive than we can ever imagine. Then, of course, you know, Allah says in the Quran, يُرِيدُ اللَّهُ بِكُمُ الْيُسْرَ وَلَا يُرِيدُ بِكُمُ الْعُسْرَ. Allah desires for us ease, he doesn't desire for us hardship. If we make repentance to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah will give us what we do, and he'll give us manifold of
and,
what we
and
do.
And of course the equal is to the wife, she would also
and the same
that.
Thing goes for the woman.
Shukran.
I'd like to know how much responsibility does a stepmother have over her stepchildren, but what once they move into her house, and if they just visit, like say they just visit with
the responsibility of the stepmother is peripheral, it's general. She only has the responsibility of taking care of her husband and the children that they have between them. But if, through a mutual agreement, through a shura, through mutual consultation, they agree. This is like a contract now. If they agree, then she's held responsible. That's a contract. She's held responsible for raising those children, if she agrees. Just like, conversely speaking, he's not responsible for taking care of her children from a former husband. He's not responsible. But of course, if he wants to have a word from Allah, he's going to do something for them. They're in the same room. I mean, he isn't really going to buy for his children from her, and he's not going to buy sneakers and, you know, whatever for the children that came from her. But he's not obligated to do it. Just like she's not obligated to do that, unless they come to some agreement. If they come to some agreement, then they're both bound by that contract. Ya ayyuha alladhina amanu awfu bil uqood. Oh, you who believe, fulfill your contract.
What is the age of responsibility? To what age limit does the father have to provide for his children, male and female?
To the best of my knowledge, I haven't seen this yet. The only thing that I've seen, I haven't seen an age. I've seen where the girl reaches menses and she's able to feed and clothe herself, and the boy reaches female remission. And or he's able to take care of himself, or when the girl gets married, meaning she's going to leave that home, then he's not responsible to take care of her anymore, or when the boy goes off to get married or something like this, then he's not responsible anymore. Before that, he's responsible. And Allah knows best.
The next question is, the child, if the maternal aunt is not present, there are other Muslim relatives, cousins, those kinds of things. Can the child choose which relatives?
No, they can't choose. The order of a matriarchal order is upward. The mother, the grandmother, and some say the mother, the aunt, etc. The maternal side. And then the paternal side. In other words, the husband's mother.
and sisters and aunts, etc. This is the way it goes. After the mother and the father, the child doesn't have a choice. The child doesn't have a choice. And that's why we see with Hamza, the Prophet made the choice for the girl. Said, no, you go, I'm telling you where to go. You go to the maternal aunt. Why? Because al-khala, the maternal aunt, the manzilat al-um. She's on the level of the mother. She didn't, even though she had the right to choose, she had refuted him. He told her where to go.
Okay, this question came up before. What happens if there's a custody agreement in the civil court and the mother goes to get a temporary order of custody, although the father has the right to the children? What can the Islamic community do to help the father to get his children?
I would want to, inshallah, like to reserve that to try to get an answer from someone else who is a knowledgeable person, much more knowledgeable than I, on the subject. Y'all, if you write that down, inshallah, exactly the way you said it, inshallah, I'll try to get the answer. I don't want to touch that one, inshallah.
Brother Dawood?
Yes.
Father, stay with me. The father is Muslim, the mother is no longer wearing hijab. She has custody of the two children.
She does.
She has custody of two children. The children are not playing at home. Should the father seek custody of those children through the Kufa court system? Because she does not have respect for the Islamic court system, for the Islamic justice system.
I don't want to answer that. I don't want to answer those type of questions. No, that's something that this needs to be done by a council of scholars that are familiar with our situation in America. Those type of answers, no.
Thank you very much.
Allah knows best. You're welcome.
What happens to battered and abused children? They live with their parents. Both of their parents have been accused of battering or child abuse, not sexual abuse, child abuse and neglect within the civil court. What does the Muslim community do in order to get these children for, I guess what's called fostering? The system has a foster system, and the Muslims, unfortunately, are not a part of it in this particular state. What do we do so that these children don't go into a non-Muslim home when we find out that Muslim children have been abused and battered by their parents?
That's something that needs to be written down, too. I don't want to answer that, inshallah. And when I say I don't want to answer it, it's either because A, I don't know the answer, or B, I have my own opinion and I don't want to share it. I'd rather have some...